What's going on, everyone? You're listening to episode 15 of M&N Sports Talk Podcast. I'm Mark Morales alongside Nick Rivera, and today we're going to discuss some Jets, Giants, and NFL football.
Whoa, the big 15. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's been a while. It's been like, what, like a week and a half, 2 weeks since we linked up?
You always like to duck me. I'm always ready.
Yeah. Well, now that we're both here, we're ready to go. I know football is your passion. It's one of your favorite sports, and I'm ready to dive in on this. How are you?
I'm ready. Football season's back.
Yeah, and it feels like football – yeah, it feels like football, like the NBA, how it's always like it's like a 24/7 type of sport. There's really no off season.
Feel bad for baseball, but sorry, it's time. Deuces.
Yeah, it's usually about like what, like beginning of August, end of July, when football season really ramps up.
Oh yeah, right now is prime time. Right now we're in preseason. Then in about another 3 weeks, NFL season. That's when we get hype. You know what that means? It's fantasy season. I'm ready.
Yeah, fantasy football. I'm really hyped for fantasy. I'm in like, I think I'm gonna be in like three or four leagues this fall.
Yeah, I'm in like four or five. Yeah, low key.
I'm really looking forward to. Hopefully, we win some money. And just for a little background for our listeners, last year I was in a league with Nick and some of his friends from home, and they did the draft, and I was away on vacation.
Being a bozo, as usual. Continue.
I said. I'm pretty sure I had like the fourth overall pick or whatnot, but in my second round, I was really, really, I was like getting on a ride, or I think I was going on a roller coaster or something. I told Nick, I was like, Nick, I want you to make my pick, but give me a really good running back. And what does Nick do? He drafts, Devontae Freeman.
He was the best available running back. Get out of my face.
And he was hurt the entire year. Nick completely wasted my second overall pick.
But you're going to leave out the part where you drafted a tight end with a broken leg. But all right, continue.
Who was that? Was that like Trey Burton or someone?
I don't remember. It was some bum tight end that he drafted who had a broken leg in preseason. You're trying to get at me.
Oh, man. Well, that's what happens when you try to do three things at once.
Well, I gave you the date months in advance, but you wanted to be, hey, you guys.
Yeah. I think the draft for that league is in a few weeks, and of course, I'm not going to be able to be in attendance once again.
What a legend.
This time, I'm going to be ready. I'm going to have a couple of people. I'm going to have a couple of lineups that I'm going to hope for, and then just take it from there. Hopefully, they're available to make it easier.
I can't wait to bully your team again. I'm ready.
Oh, man. Well, let's dive into this. Whoa. So we were talking about how football season started up a few weeks back. Training camp has been going on for a few weeks now. And the past few days, there's been a couple of preseason games. And, you know, for us, you know, I'm the Jets fan, you're the Giants fan. The biggest game of the preseason so far has been the Jets versus Giants game. But before we really break down and really, like, dive into that game, let's talk about some of like the biggest headlines of this training camp / preseason. And I think the craziest story, and I don't know if this is the craziest thing you've ever heard, Nick, but you know, like this Antonio Brown drama is just, it's comical at this point. What do you say the same?
Oh yeah, he put on his clown shoes and tied them extra tight. I don't know what's going on with him.
Yeah, and like someone like Antonio Brown, right? So this is how his Raiders career started off, Nick. So He pretty much forces his way out of the Steelers organization. Wouldn't you agree
pretty
about
much.
That? Yeah, so he forces his way out of the Steelers. He gets traded to Oakland. And Oakland gave up a decent amount, right? Like what I'm forgetting the exact.
I think it was like a first and something deals. Else.
Let's see here. So
I'm pretty sure it was a first and some other and like a bag of Fritos or something.
Yeah, so the Raiders got Antonio Brown, and the Steelers got a third-round pick and a fifth-round
pick. Oh, they didn't get a first? So, that was Amari Cooper game.
Yeah, they got a first for Amari Cooper from the Amari Cooper trade with Dallas and Oakland. But I think the Steelers came out and won this deal because think about this. Antonio Brown, in his first year with the Raiders organization, he comes to preseason – in a hot air balloon on the first day of camp. That's his ride. Most people Most people Uber. Most people drive themselves. You know, someone like Juju Smith-Schuster last year rode his bike to training camp in preseason. What does Antonio Brown do? He flies a hot air balloon into training camp. Not only that, right? Not only does he draw all the attention for that, and keep in mind, you know, the Raiders were on Hard Knocks this year, so maybe, you know, he was doing that just for, like, because of the fact that he was going to be on TV. But nonetheless, it was a clown move. Not only does he come in on a hot air balloon. Now, a few weeks back, you know, he got hurt in the beginning of training camp and wasn't practicing, wasn't playing at all. And there was a tweet of threads, like a thread that came out yesterday. I think it was Michael Silver or something like that, that made the tweet. Let's see. Yeah, it was Michael Silver. He pretty much had a thread of 20 tweets that really, like, broke down everything that's been going on with Antonio Brown. But, you know, there was a few weeks back in the beginning of preseason, there was what do you have? Antonio Brown suffered a foot injury. And it came out a couple of days ago that he actually froze his feet in a cryogenic chamber to the point where he gave himself frostbite because he wasn't wearing the proper footwear into the chamber. Now, Nick, let me ask you this. You know, Antonio Brown has been playing professional football. This is going to be his 10th season. So for 9 years, he knew to wear the right shoes in the cryogenic chamber. What was going through his head that made him forget, oh, my God, I got to wear shoes when I go into this chamber that's going to completely freeze my body? Like, how do you forget that?
I don't know, man. If I was getting – the Raiders could give me $50 million, and I'll do whatever they want me to do. But it seems like the more money you get paid in professional sports, the less thinking you actually do.
I know. So Antonio Brown completely forgets after 9 years to put on shoes to go into cryogenic chamber. So now he's going to be out for God knows how long with the frostbite on his feet. And he posted a picture on social media, and his feet looked disgusting. Like, the skin was, like, peeling off of him. It looked really,
you know,
really
you wanted
bad.
To give him a
he's
lick.
Lucky he didn't.
I know deep down you wanted to.
No way. But, you know, he's very lucky that he didn't end up having, you know, a very severe injury there. And that's not even the craziest part about Antonio Brown's nonsense so far this preseason. Now, as of yesterday, which was Friday, it came out that the helmet that he's been wearing has been uncertified by this committee that certifies athletic equipment for the NFL. So he made it a whole big deal. Oh, I want to wear my helmet. I want to wear my old helmet. It's just crazy. He went so far that he threatened to quit football if he couldn't wear his old helmet anymore. He actually had a hearing yesterday with the NFL to try to convince them to let him wear his old unsafe helmet. And I don't know if you heard this part, Nick, but apparently he even went as far as painting his helmet black and silver to try to fake that he brought a new helmet onto the field to try to sneak it on so he could wear it. Like, what's going through this guy's head? The Raiders just – they didn't give up a lot to get you, but they made you one of the highest paid receivers in the NFL. They invested a lot of money in you. Like, why is he causing all this drama between coming to training camp in a hot air balloon, then forgetting to wear shoes in a cryogenic chamber, and now he's going to be out for God knows how long? He developed no chemistry with Derek Carr, no chemistry with anybody else. There's a guy that on the Raiders that actually said, we don't even know where this guy is anymore. And now he's threatening to quit football because the NFL doesn't want him to wear an unsafe helmet. Like, this guy, it sounds like a moron.
Yeah, he's a clown factor 9 right now. I don't know. I think it's just CTE early onset. I don't know.
It could be, since he's wearing unsafe helmets.
Like, I don't know what the issue is. I think he's a very – a big me guy, big me energy. And I think this is just feeding into it. And he went to the Raiders. You know, Hard Knocks. Wait, John Gruden, they're the clown show of the NFL. So he was like, you know what? Let me join this. I'm going to get my jokes on. And he's been pretty hilarious thus far. I got to give him credit. He's made me put a smile on my face.
Yeah, but he's not putting a smile on the Oakland Raiders organization. Like, apparently, too, in that Michael Silver thread, apparently, like, he shows up late to meetings. And when he's in the meetings, he's focused on his phone and, you know, it was quoted that he's constantly looking at his bank account and liking pictures on Instagram instead of focusing on the meetings. Like, this guy, like, don't get me wrong, he's one of the best receivers in football, but he's a diva, it seems like. And it's just crazy how in the history of the NFL that, you know, the biggest divas in the NFL are wide receivers.
Hot take. If he wasn't on the Steelers his whole career, with Ben and that whole offense, he wouldn't be viewed as a top receiver in the league. Hot take.
You don't think so?
I don't think he's – I can name four better than him right now.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's easy.
Whoa. Damn, that was aggressive as well. All right, I can name six better.
I could, like, right now, you got Hulu.
Hulu.
Hulu
Sports.
Julio Jones. Hulu's got live sports.
You got Hulu Jones.
Julio Jones. Odell Beckham. DeAndre Hopkins.
Speak that name around here.
Still salty.
I'm not salty. I'm just hurt.
Yeah, I don't blame you. But so we got Julio Jones, DeAndre Hopkins, Odell Beckham,
AJ Green.
Who's the fourth one?
Put AJ some Green, respect. Yeah.
So who's your sixth then? Name two more that you think
Keenan
are better.
Keenan Allen, Michael Thomas.
Okay. Oh, I totally forgot about him. Yeah, I put him before AJ Green.
There's
honestly.
Monsters in this league, and Antonio Brown being a little bum. He's not elite no more.
Yeah.
Product of the system.
We'll see what happens.
Product of the system.
It's going to be tough to play in a new system when you haven't even played at all. And
especially with that system is beans.
And with a quarterback who don't even know if he's
and
good
no
or
running
not,
back.
Like right now at this point.
And no offensive line. And no team. Trash.
But, yeah, so the Antonio Brown stuff just makes me scratch my head. And it's just crazy how, like, the Raiders just invested so much money into him. And he's just slapping them across
Hulu
the face.
Jones.
But... well, we'll see what happens with AB. And now let's start talking about some of the first – the first-round picks. So Nick Bosa, who was the second overall pick in the 2019 draft, he was going to be out for the entire preseason now because he has an ankle sprain. Now – what's your thoughts about that, Nick? Because he came into this draft, looked at as a really top defensive player, and he's had some injury problems in the past. So, like, you think that was a smart move by the 49ers to draft him?
I see that he's taking after his brother and getting injured very easily, very early on. I mean, mm-hmm. The talent was there, and I could see why they did it. But,
absolutely.
I mean, I guess it was risk-reward, and they said, we're going to risk it for the biscuit. But right now, the 49ers, they got no biscuit. They're looking pretty silly right now.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, you know, Garoppolo's trying to come back from the ACL surgery that he had. But we'll see what happens. You know, I agree. You know, Nick Bosa, the talent was there. I feel like the 49ers had to take him at two. I think Williams, though, on the Jets, Quinnen Williams, I think he's going to be a better player and, like, we'll be able to stay healthy longer than Nick
bias.
Bosa.
I smell bias.
Now, everyone loved that pick for the Jets. But we'll see. You know, it's whenever a player has had injury problems in the past, it's always going to be a risk-reward type of thing. And right now, you're looking at more of the risk factor if you're the 49ers fan with Nick Bosa. But we'll see. Hopefully he's able to come back during the regular season or a little bit before, get some practice under his belt, and hopefully make a difference and be a difference maker for that 49ers team. And now let's talk some quarterbacks. So, you know, obviously there was a huge, huge quarterback controversy this draft. You had Daniel Jones going sixth
overall.
That's my
quarterback.
You had Kyler Murray going first overall. Dwayne Haskins, where was he drafted? Like 11th
or
something?
I think 13. 11 or 13.
Something like that. Yeah. You had him who people thought he was going to be the best quarterback out of the three.
Yeah.
Now – Let's start with Kyler Murray. Let me just pull up the spreadsheet, the box score for his game. Who'd they play? They played the Chargers.
Yeah, they did.
So Kyler Murray, you know, he only had like a drive. He went 6 for 7 at 44 yards. He was sacked once, no touchdowns, no interceptions. I think he looked pretty solid. I watched a little bit of the game when I was out that night, but they had the games on the TV, so I was kind of just, like, watching. I think he looked pretty solid. I mean, I'm not going to go, you know, saying, oh, my God, he's, you know, sure, number one overall pick, and he's one of the best players in the draft or whatnot, but I think he's going to be serviceable. I know a lot of people thought that his size, you know, he's a short quarterback. Everyone didn't, you know, people don't really like short quarterbacks in the NFL. There's only a select few who have thrived, you know, like Russell Wilson, Drew Brees, for example, Baker Mayfield. But I think Kyler Murray's going to be a good quarterback in this league. What do you think?
I think he's going to be good. I just think he showed a rookie in the preseason. And, I mean, I see the potential there. He still kind of freaks me out with his ability to escape and just how small he looks. He just looks very fragile. I feel like if he catches a big hit, it's curtains.
Yeah, because he does like to run around too, right? Like he's not just a, like a pocket passer.
He's a mobile QB.
Yeah, hopefully he doesn't try to be like RG3 and try to be Superman and run himself out of the league by giving himself a bunch of injuries.
Just thinking about RG3 made my knees hurt. Oh, God. They're mad sore right now.
But we'll see. I mean, it's like a double or nothing. Excuse me, it's like a double or nothing type of thing with the Cardinals, because if you remember, they drafted Josh Rosen last year, and after one season, they gave him the boot and drafted Kyler Murray.
That was a clown show move right there.
Yeah, you know, you didn't even give Josh Rosen a chance to develop, a chance to do anything, really, and the Cardinals were god awful last year.
Josh Rosen looks looking like Andrew Luck when they, what's it called, blended his organs. Like, when he was on the Colts and they had no, like, the last couple of years before they started getting better, like, he was getting, you just hear these injuries, like, he got his kidneys, his liver.
You're talking about
Yeah, like, he was getting eaten up, and, like, the same thing was happening to Josh Rosen. He was just getting bullied.
Yeah, both teams had no offensive line to protect
him. I don't know why you draft a QB with no offensive line, just setting him up for failure.
You say the same thing about the Giants, no?
Excuse me? Nah, I'll give them one thing. They've been trying.
Who?
Yeah, the Giants? To find some offensive line.
Yeah, they have. It just hasn't really worked out for
they
them.
They gave money. They made Nate Solder one of the highest paid offensive linemen. He's beans. Oh, my God. He's so awful. I'm going to sign a petition to get that guy traded. I have to.
Yeah, that'd be funny.
He's Eric Flowers on steroids.
Eric Flowers, forgot about him. He was supposed to be the answer.
Yeah, he's
too
on the Redskins, letting Dwayne Haskins get bodied right now.
Yeah, and speaking of Dwayne Haskins, you know, this Washington Redskins team just looks terrible, man. They really
that
look
makes
bad.
Me happy. Good.
They only put up 10 points in the preseason. Dwayne Haskins, I mean, he went 8 for 14, 117 yards, but he had 2 interceptions. He was sacked twice for 24 yards. And, you know, it's just like Dwayne Haskins didn't really look like an NFL quarterback.
I know.
Out there.
He looked like Sam Darnold.
Yeah, right.
The Beans Master. Now, he looked not great. But, I mean, it was also the first preseason game. So, like, I'll give him some slack. But that was not a great showing at all.
And it doesn't help either. I mean, their offensive line was terrible, too. I mean, you know, he was sacked twice. Their third-string quarterback, Josh Woodrum, was sacked once. But he was sacked. I mean, it's just, I don't know. For a guy like Dwayne Haskins, who was looked at as the best quarterback coming out of this draft, or like one of the top two, it was very, like, if I'm a Redskins fan, that was very alarming to see the way he performed. Now, like, I agree with you. It was game one of the preseason. Really no reason to overreact. But you have to think that if he doesn't show improvement, what do they play, 4 preseason games or 3?
4.
If he doesn't show any improvement within the next like 3 preseason games, he's probably not going to see any time during the regular season.
Nah. What really scares me though is you see some of these backup quarterbacks, like who are these people? Like
I know.
Like you just said the third, I already forgot his name.
Josh Woodrum.
But, like, if you just go around the NFL, there's so many quarterback backups that, like, I'm just looking. I'm like, who are you people?
I know.
If these quarterbacks go down, man, somehow lights out.
And somehow, all these random names, somehow Colin Kaepernick hasn't had a job in, like, 3
years.
Oh,
you're one of these guys, huh?
I'm just saying. I'm not saying I agree with what he was doing or not doing or anything, but just looking at it at an NFL talent standpoint, the fact that you have all these other guys on the field when Colin Kaepernick is by far better than 90% of the backups.
I mean, you got to be – my whole thing with him is you got to be good. Like, yeah, he could be better than the backup you have now, but with all the drama and baggage and media attention he brings, is it worth it for that little extra however far beyond? Like, his last couple seasons with the 49ers, not great.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, people say he led him to a Super Bowl, but, I mean, Joe Flacco in a Super Bowl. I'm not giving that guy too much money. But anyways, I don't know. I mean, I feel like he does have a place in the league, but, like, when you sue the NFL and you have all this drama, it kind of it kind of puts a hard cap on who's going to sign you. It's a very, very limited situation.
Well, A-Rod sued the Yankees and sued the Yankees doctors, and they, like, his relationship with the Yankees turned out fine.
I mean, and A-Rod also was an all-time great. I mean, I'm not saying Colin Kaepernick is not good, but, I mean, I don't know, man.
No, I agree.
And he was suing the Yankees, not the MLB.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. But, yeah, so Dwayne Haskins, I mean, like I was saying, like, if he doesn't improve, he's probably not going to play at all during the regular season, and that's not really good when you have, like, young quarterbacks. Like, yeah, you want, like, usually, you know, in the past, like, what was it, like, 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, you drafted a rookie quarterback. They didn't see the field at all until, like, year two. And then it just happened, like, recently, like, the past, what, like, 4 or 5 years.
Back when the NFL was smart.
Like, the past 4 or 5 years, now rookie quarterbacks, they don't even really get a year now to just learn. They just get either thrown right into it, like Sam Darnold's case last year.
The beans man. And, the pick master.
Or you wait a year, like, and come in year two, like Patrick Mahomes. So, you know, someone like Dwayne Haskins, you really hope that he improves, because that gets, if he doesn't get first team reps during the regular season, at least, you know, his development might get stunted. He might not be able to fully develop into that big time quarterback that everybody was projecting him to be. So we'll see what happens with that. And now let's dive into the Jets and Giants preseason game.
Ah, yes, that L. Let's talk about
it's
that.
It's just
out.
Preseason. I thought you said not over. Not so overreact.
I mean, I wasn't gonna overreact, but then you're blowing up my phone saying Jets after they scored, and then after that first text, I just got silence. And I was curious what was happening, so I updated it. I turned on the game and I said, "Ooh, this L. That's what's happening."
Yeah, but you know, Daniel Jones, let's talk about him.
You like him marching down the field on your defense?
Well, I was going to get into that, so, because I have something to say about that. So, Daniel Jones, he went 5 for 5, 67 yards, and threw for a
touchdown.
Looking
like a Hall of
Famer. Don't get me wrong. He looked really, really good in that one drive that he had. But, you know, Rich Simini, he tweeted this out. Some context on Daniel Jones' 5 for 5 touchdown drive. Giants had number one offensive line. Jets had mostly backups on defense.
Oh, get me out of here. Y'all had a half year starting D out of there. Get out of my face.
So, I mean, I'm not taking anything away from Daniel Jones. I thought he looked really, really good, and he showed promise. And he had the best debut out of all the rookie quarterbacks that has played
right,
so
he
far.
Did.
But
it's Jonestown.
You know, he did go up against mostly backups against the Jets.
God.
Just going to throw that out there.
Oh, here we go. First, y'all have the number, according to a lot of people, including you, you have a highly rated defense, and you had half your starters out there. Get out of my face. Get out of my face. He marched down the field on you.
And I, like I said, he played really, really well. I'm not taking anything away from him.
You're low-key trying to, deep down.
but were you satisfied with what you saw?
Yes, I was satisfied.
Obviously.
Because they drafted him. And I felt like I was the only dude on the planet that actually said, let him play. I like it. I was the only dude that actually watched tape on him. Everyone just said, Daniel Jones, no. Everyone just said, you know what? The media told me Dwayne Haskins is a quarterback we need to draft. We didn't, so I have to hate him. And for 2 months, I had all this Daniel Jones slander, how the Giants are a clown show, all these memes. And then what happens is first drive, all on social media, oh my God, Daniel Jones, oh, he's our savior. Give Eli the boot. And I was like, here we go. Look at these flip-flopper frauds. So I'm going through the history. I'm going through Twitter. I'm going through every aspect. And if I'm searching, if you had some Daniel Jones slander, you can't join this bandwagon. I'm the conductor. And what I say goes, Daniel Jones, future Hall of Famer, baby. That might be
a little
strong,
much.
But guess what?
Might be a little much.
He's already better than Sam Dookie.
No, I wouldn't say that. Sam Darnold had a great first drive, too. He was 4 for 5, 68 yards, 1 touchdown. And Daniel Jones and Sam Darnold each had a 158.3 passer rating. So, I
but
mean,
when
Darnold
Sam Darnold
really,
was
really
out
good.
There, they had mostly starting offensive line. And the Giants had most of their backups. But I'm not trying to take nothing away from Sam Dookie. But
we'll see. I'm telling you, I think I've been telling you this all off season. I think Sam Darnold's going to have a really good second
and
year.
And I think he's going to lead the league in picks again.
All right, we'll see.
Turnover machine.
But, I mean, he looked real good. Daniel Jones looked real good. And Eli had a 3-and-out.
That's my guy right there. Nah.
He was 1-for-1 for 3 yards.
Daniel Jones, for all – whatever. Daniel Jones could win me 5 Super Bowls. He'll never fill the spot in my heart like Eli does. Eli is my – oh, he's so perfect, yo. Oh, Eli, man. Eli is just a meme creator. He's just an Iron Man. He's just a GOAT. He had 2 of the greatest Super Bowl plays. Yo, my hero. Eli is my hero. Eli, if you're listening, because I know you are, you're my hero.
Well, how long do you think it's going to take for Daniel Jones to start? Do you expect to see him out there at all this season, like as a starter, not just coming in for garbage time or whatnot? You don't think he's going to start at all this year?
No, he shouldn't. Everyone likes rushing. We're not winning the Super Bowl or winning playoff games, so what's the point in rushing?
Yeah, and Pat Shurmur came out and said, for all the people that want Daniel Jones to start after his debut, he goes, slow your roll.
Now, all the people who said that want him to start are the same bozos that were clowning him the day of the draft, so they need to get out of my face.
Yep. So, Eli, obviously his contract's going to be up after this
No.
year. Do you think that they're going to re-sign him? If Daniel Jones doesn't play at all this year, can you see Eli or the Giants bringing Eli back for another year or two, but as a backup role to Daniel Jones? Or this, I'll give you 3 scenarios. Do you see either that happening? Do you see them letting him go completely? And let's just say he either retires or signs with another team to be a starter. And then you have Daniel Jones full time. Or do you think that they will like re-sign him? He'll be the starter, but he won't, you know, obviously Daniel Jones will take over at some point in that that season.
My ideal scenario was for the Giants to trade him to the Jaguars and not have them sign Nick Foles, just so, because that's a better team. Eli's on his way out. He could reunite with Tom Coughlin. That's my other guy right there. That's an OG right there. And I feel like that would be a great situation for him, just kind of like how Peyton went with the Broncos. Maybe not win a Super Bowl, but, I mean, be competitive more at least. But now that that's not an option, I think – I mean, I don't think he – I really don't see him accepting the backup role. Eli's kind of like mellow with that. He's like, nah, I'm good. But if they do re-sign him, then he's going to play. But, I mean, I would like for him to, like, come back and be a backup and, like, a mentor. But I know he won't. But, I mean, if they can convince him to do that, that'd be cool. But if they re-sign him, then they're going to play him.
Yeah, because for me, like, my personal thoughts on this is that unless the season is completely, like, gone for the Giants, and let's say that they start the season, like 1-6, 1-7 or whatnot, and they're having a really bad year. Then maybe I could see Daniel Jones coming in for like a game or two, like towards the end of the season or whatnot. But regardless, if Eli gets offered a starting job elsewhere and the Giants tell him for the get-go of off-season this year, saying that, look, we'd love to have you back, but if we re-sign you, you're going to be the backup and you're going to be the mentor to Daniel Jones. And if another team offers him a starting job, I personally think that he's going to go for the starting job. That's just me.
Yeah. Like, don't get me wrong, Eli's not top 5 in the league right now, but it's annoying how, like, everyone says he's so garbage, but, like, no one, like, watches the games. Like, if Drew Brees was under the same pressure, like, you don't understand, bro. For, like, almost half the snaps, like, he would snap, take a 3-step drop, and there's already someone in his face. Like, even Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, they're not doing anything with that. Like, he's not top 5 in the league, but, like, it's so annoying how people don't watch the games and say he's like so garbage. Cause like, if you give him time, he was making throws. He was marching down the field. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. I agree. Their offensive line has been absolutely awful the past few years. And that's been a big reason why this Giants team wasn't able to do anything last year with Saquon Barkley and Evan Ingram and OBJ. That was
the most mind blowing part is though, is how they were down a lot. But like the last 2-3 minutes, they would run their 2-minute drills and just march down the field. And I'm just sitting there like, but why don't you do this the whole game? Why?
I don't know.
Pat Shermer was making me scratch my head a lot last season, but let's see if he figured it out. Probably not.
Yeah. We shall see. Now, let's talk a little bit about the Jets. So we said Sam Darnold had a really good debut in preseason. He looked really good. He looked even better than he looked last year. Trevor Siemian, the backup QB, he's pretty young too. He went 13 for 16, 77 yards and a touchdown. He also looked pretty good as well. Now, obviously, barring injury, he's never going to see the field because this is Sam Darnold's team. But, you know, this Jets team, man, I think they're going to be really good. I think their offense has really improved since last year. Sam Darnold finally has weapons. He has Le'Veon Bell, Jamison Crowder. I think he's going to be a really good pickup. I think he's going to be a really solid player if he could stay healthy, he's going to be really, really helpful for Sam Darnold in this Jets offense, in my opinion. With him and on Anunua, I think they're going to be the best receivers for the Jets that they've had in a while.
Quincy Anunua. If those are your weapons, that makes me anxious for you.
And also, too, someone like Le'Veon Bell, you know, remember how I was like trolling you and how Eli Manning, he threw for what, like I think a little over 4,000 yards last year, maybe a little under. But remember how I told you that most of his yards came from a little dump off to Barkley and he just ran it to the house half the time?
I mean, that normally has to happen when you're like getting tackled into the ground. No, and there's people on your face.
But what I'm saying is that I could see the same thing happening with Sam Darnold and Le'Veon Bell. I'm not saying that the Jets' offensive line is going to be as bad. I mean, their offensive line has been bad the past few years, but I think that they were able to fill some holes this offseason with for the offensive line. But I could see Sam Darnold, you know, not saying that under pressure that this is only going to happen when he's under pressure, but I could see him dumping off, you know, to Le'Veon Bell or having a quick little slant with Le'Veon Bell or have him roll out or whatnot, and he just dumps it off to Le'Veon. I think having Le'Veon is going to really, really help Sam Darnold, if Le'Veon's Le'Veon of old, you know, the Steelers' Le'Veon, because defenses have to really plan for him. When you look at if you're planning for the Jets, not only are you planning for, you know, the wide receivers and especially like Sam Darnold, but you also have to plan heavily for Le'Veon Bell because he could hurt you in many different ways. He could hurt you with his legs. He could hurt you with his hands. And having that, I mean, you'd know, having someone a running back who can catch at a high level as well as run and be one of the top running backs in the league, that's a huge weapon to have. And you've seen it firsthand with Saquon Barkley. We've seen it with someone like Alvin Kamara with the Saints. And I think that success is going to translate over for Sam Darnold too, because when defenses are keying in on Le'Veon Bell, that leaves other receivers open. You know, and I think that's really where Jamison Crowder is going to thrive. I think that's really where Quincy Anunua is going to thrive. Robbie Anderson too. I haven't even talked about him. I think he's set up to have a big year too because of, you know, the threat of Le'Veon Bell. And you've seen this firsthand with someone like Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, man. I mean, I think they improved a lot, but I don't know how you go from 4-12 to anywhere like playoff team wise. I mean, I think they're going to be good, better at least, but I don't know how much better.
I mean, their defense has improved drastically too. You know, they have C.J. Mosley, who's a top defender in the league. Jamal Adams is one of the best safeties in the league. You have someone like Leonard Williams, who should have a really good bounce back season. And you have a good rookie in Quinton Williams, who, you know, people were saying that was one of the best picks in the draft this year. And he's shown so far that he's a really, really good defensive lineman. So, I mean, this is the first time the Jets have had an offensive-minded head coach in many, many years. So we'll see what happens. You know, I'm really excited for this Jets team.
Oh, your guy that sniffs smelling salts before a preseason game? What a psychopath.
Is that really what happened?
I mean, it looked like smelling salts. He gave a reaction like it was smelling salts. I don't know what else you smell and do that.
No, I mean, you're the nurse here, so like, what does that even do to you? Like, I'm not really aware of that stuff. But like, what's so big about it? Let's say he did do it. Like, is it illegal? Like, can you get in trouble for it? Like, what does it do illegal. To you?
It's like people do it. Like, you could do it before. Like, you want to get jacked up for something, or, like, say you have, like, a hangover. It basically, like, it's so powerful that it, like, wakes you up. It gives you, like, a jolt of, like, not really energy. It just, like, shakes you up. It's like hard to explain the reaction. So like
what, you sniff it?
Yeah, you like, just like you like run it under your nose and you smell it, and like it's so strong.
Like in a like, bad way, like a smell.
Yeah, it doesn't smell good. It's just like so strong, like you know, like the smell, like the certain things that like open up your sinuses.
Yeah, like Vicks Rub or something. Yeah, like that.
Yeah, kind of like that, and it just like opens up your whole like sinus, and like it just gives you like a rush of energy, kind of really.
Is that why his eyes are always so wide open?
I mean, that could be part of the reason, but
yeah,
your guy looks like a maniac, yo. In that, in the introduction, his eyes. I don't know, man.
Oh man, I mean, I wasn't too thrilled with the hiring of Adam Gase, but you have to think though, he was looked at a few years back when he signed with Miami. He was looked at as the offensive guru. He was looked at as a Sean McVay of 2016, and he really never had as good of a quarterback as Sam Darnold. So I think this is it for him. This is make or break in the NFL coaching career. We got to see how he can really translate his offensive guru-ness to Sam Darnold in this Jets offense.
I don't know, man. I just think he's a psychopath.
Well, let's, since we're on the topic of Jets, let's talk about what to expect from the Jets this season. You know, I'll go first here since I'm the Jets fan. No, I'm expecting a really fun season. I know that they lost their first game of the preseason, but it's preseason. No reason to overreact. Sam Darnold only played a drive. And, you know, their good players didn't even really play. Le'Veon Bell didn't play at all. Sam Darnold barely played. But I'm expecting a really, really good season. They were 4-12 last year. And I think if they could just double their wins, and let's just say they get to their – they have 8 wins, right? If you could try to – you could sneak out one or two more wins and you all of a sudden you have 9-10 wins, you're competing for a wild card. So, you know, I'm expecting a very competitive season. The minimum, I want them to at least double their wins and get to 8. You know, if in a perfect world, I'd like them to make the playoffs as a wild card. I don't think they're going to win the division. I still think New England's going to win the division, but the Jets have a really good shot at being the second best team in the AFC East.
The AFC least, you mean? Who else is there? The Bills? Ew. The Dolphins? Ew. You're like by default number 2.
But I don't know. I'm telling you, I think they're going to be good, man.
I know
you're just a Jets hater, but I think they have a really good shot.
If I'm a Jets hater, you're a Giants hater. Giants, let's see. Oh, no, not the Giants. Jets. I don't know, man. I mean, they improve, but I don't think they're making the playoffs yet. I'll go. Most likely 8 or 9 wins. I'm feeling 7 wins, 7 and 9.
Okay.
But I feel like they have the chance to go. I don't think 9 and 7 will win the wild card, but I feel like they could go 9 and 7 very easily.
Yeah, I think so too. Like I was saying, I think the most realistic scenario would be going 8 and 8, right? That'll be like probably the most realistic. Now, you want to say like like I was saying before, I think they could probably sneak out 1 or 2 more wins. I think at their best, they could probably be 9 and 7, like what you were saying. But I think at least they have to go 8 and 8. So I think we kind of agree on that one.
Yeah, I could low key see them getting 9 or 10 wins. But I guess we'll have to see.
Yeah, we will. We shall see. Okay. Now, let's talk about the Giants now. What do we expect from the Giants this season? Now, I'll let you go first. You're the Giants fan. What are you expecting from this 2019 campaign?
I mean, everyone, like, wants to go to the Super Bowl right now. It kind of boggles my brain. Like, I'm low-key with going 0-16, wrapping Saquon up in bubble wrap and just chilling. But, like, that's just me. Like, I guess I'm the only one that thinks about the future, but like everyone wants to, you know, we have to make the playoffs right now. Oh, I don't get it. I don't see it. I think they'll probably win like maybe 5. They'll probably do the same thing they did last year. Like last year they started off 0-7, but I mean, and they finished out pretty strong. I feel like if they could just even it out, like a couple wins here, a couple L's there, I feel like they'll probably win 4 or 5 games. Hopefully 6. I kind of want 6. I think that's a pretty yummy number. Maybe, I mean, I could see, like, best case scenario, I could see them going 7-9. Maybe 500 if, like, they don't lose by a field goal every game like they did last year.
Yeah, that was insane.
And the refs don't give Christian McCaffrey that first because he didn't get it. But anyway, I don't know. I could see him win maybe best case scenario 7-9, probably 5-. What is, I can't do math. 11. There we go.
11.
Yeah. Math with an F. I couldn't figure it out. I was like, what is going on right now?
So you're saying at their best 7-9 and at their worst 5-11, like they finished last year?
Yeah. No, at their worst, I mean, that's what I want them. Their worst. Their worst, they could easily low key go like 3-13.
You think so?
Low key. Just low key, though. Very, like, a lot of things have to go wrong.
Yeah. And, you know, for me, like, you know, it's tough. You know, the Giants, they weren't as bad last year as they make it out to be. They had Saquon Barkley arguably with the top two, you know, he's a top three running back in the league last year. They had OBJ, who's arguably one of the best wide receivers in all of football. And somehow they just couldn't make it work. And they have Evan Ingram, who's not a scrub at tight end either.
I mean, he has no hands either.
But, you know, the Giants are really going to be – it's going to be tough for them to come out with wins in the first couple of games because, you know, Sterling Shepard has the broken thumb. Your other wide receiver, Coleman's out for the year with a torn ACL. Golden Tate, he's suspended for the first four games of the season. So their wide receiver corp is really going to be – I mean, non-existent the first couple of games of the season. And that's going to put a lot of pressure on Saquon Barkley because, you know, now without Golden Tate, without Sterling Shepard, if let's just say he's not ready to go by the time the season starts, all the defense is really going to be keying in on Barkley and just focusing on shutting him down because you know that they're going to let – they'd rather let the third-string wide receiver who's starting because of injury beat them rather than letting Saquon Barkley beat them. So I don't see – Barkley really having a fantastic stat-wise year because of the fact that defenses are going to know that the ball is going to him, whether it's a run or a pass. But, you know, I'm seeing maybe like a 4-12, 5-11 season from the Giants this season. That's just me.
But I agree with you. Wow, that was disrespectful.
They could easily go 3-13. They could go 2-14. You know, they could be really bad. They have the potential to be one of the worst teams in the NFL this year. And I think it's...
I can't wait.
I think it's strictly because of the fact that your wide receiver core is down right now. Do you agree with me, though, that, like, Barkley might not have the same statistical season that he had last year because the first few weeks it's really going to be him and no one else? Even if it's him and Sterling Shepard and that's it, you know, like, he might not have a great year. As great
I'm
as he
still
had.
Drafting him number one in fantasy, low key though. But yeah, I don't know. They just need to wrap him in bubble wrap because I know someone's gonna land on him. His leg's gonna explode.
Well, hopefully not, man. He's a really good player.
I know. I don't want him to. Like, I'm just so nervous because they're literally gonna have 11 people running at him.
I know. Hopefully, they don't run into the ground. You know.
Hopefully they don't do what Le'Veon Bell.
What does that mean?
We'll see. What the Steelers did, they ran my man's into the ground. That's why he held out.
Oh, yeah, true.
And now y'all got hand-me-downs.
Nah, I mean, you think he's fresh and ready to go. He sat out a year. I'm excited, man. I'm really, really looking forward to this football season. This is one of the first football seasons I'm actually super pumped for. It's going to be a very fun year with the Jets, I think.
I wish I could say the same. It's going to be L season for me.
Yeah, unfortunately it is. But maybe you'll catch a dub in fantasy. I'm really looking forward to that as well. Good luck to all you guys listening out there who participate and partake in fantasy football. Good luck in your seasons. I wish good luck to both the Jets and the Giants this year. Nick, you have anything?
No, you don't mean that.
You have anything you want to say before we wrap things up?
I wish I didn't live in New York, man. Because, like, say the Giants were, like, let me think of a trash team. The Raiders. Like whenever we're bad, they're bad. Their tickets, dirt cheap. When the Giants are garbage, MetLife still scalps me for tickets. It's kind of annoying.
Well, that's New York.
I'm still gonna pay for it.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, like I said, I wish good luck to all you guys listening to your fantasy seasons. Wishing good luck to both the Jets and Giants. Nick, I hopefully we'll link up in a few weeks for the you know, that fantasy draft or whatnot. I know
he's lying.
Or not.
And, he's lying.
Hopefully we can go to that Jets-Giants game on November 11th. I'd love to go
He's lying. I mean, you better keep that energy because I'm going to hit you with tickets. You're going to be like, see what happened. All right,
last time I asked you, you said I can't commit because I don't know about work, even though this is 3 months from now.
I got my schedule. All
right.
Who doesn't have theirs? You.
All right. Well, we'll figure it out. We'll make things work. And if we end up going to the game, we'll post some videos, some hot takes on our Instagram. And speaking of Instagram and Twitter,
whoa,
follow us on Instagram and Twitter at MN Sports Talk Pod.
Whoa.
You could DM us. You could send us messages with any questions, any comments you have. This has been episode 15 of MN Sports Talk Podcast. For Nick Rivera, I'm Mark Morales. Have a good one, everyone.